Hi, so young Alberto. I work in SUSE. In SUSE, we know how to make installer. It's like a tradition there. And this is one more installer. So this is, we are going to talk about Yomi, that is a new kind of installer. So what is Yomi? Yomi is a new kind of installer for now, oriented for the SUSE family. So we have like MicroS, Tumbleweed. It's very oriented for the SUSE family. And it's kind of similar to AutoJazz. AutoJazz basically is this kind of installer that you provide a profile, generally it's an XML, and is able to make local decisions and produce an installer based on this in this profile document. So Yomi, one of the goals that we have with Yomi is needs to be used for parallel installations in network. We have nodes that are have very different hardware configurations. So network that some nodes are going to have a lot of CPU, memory, hard disk, and different. We want deployment that are different in relation with the partitioning and the software and the service that are going to be installed there. Of course, needs to be unattended. So if you have multiple nodes, you don't want to take care of them. That means that you need some kind of freedom, and the system needs to make some choices for you when you are not very clear what you are talking about. Also, we want something that is simple to manage. One of the problems about AutoJazz is that the XML is not easy to manage. It's not very DevOps-oriented. So basically, it's hard to provide logic inside an XML document. It's kind of hard. And if you want to integrate that in something that is Git-based, it's maybe not optional, not optimal. We need something that is easy to orchestrate, and this is really an innovation in relation with AutoJazz. Orchestration is not part of the AutoJazz, and we are talking about installation where the orchestration is a key component. For example, some installation need to be before others, and some service need to be running before other service are able to connect to the first one. So we need something that can orchestrate. Something that is not a requirement, but I put here is idempotent or idempotent. We want something that is not going to break our system. See, we have something that is working, and we make a mistake. So we are admins, we make mistakes. We don't want something that is going to be broken because I try to reapply the installer there. So this is a property that we are looking for. And of course, we need something that can work alone. So maybe the installation is a single problem that you have. You have a big network, and you only want to take care of the installation. But we want something that can be integrated into a bigger solution, something that you can put this piece of code as a one step in a bigger one. Typical use case of Yomi. I mean, if you have experience with OpenStack or Kubernetes, you have a good candidate for the usage of this installer. Because in OpenStack, you have a lot of nodes. Those nodes are different, this different hardware, because there are different roles involved in OpenStack. We have, for example, the control plane. Control plane is usually very big machine with a lot of memory and a very nice network because it's going to be the connection point with the rest of the network. We have some nodes that are going to be computation nodes. So basically, the memory is going to be big, but the hard disk is not going to be super, super beefy. But the CPU is going to be, of course, the feature of that is going to define this kind of node. And we are going to have a storage node. In storage node, we don't care about much about the memory, maybe. We don't care much about the CPU. But we really care about the storage that we have installed there. Basically, we want RAID, LVM, or we are going to have a specific hardware for resolving this problem of storage. We have different nodes, and of course, we want different kind of installation there. That means different partitioning, different service, and different users. Yeah, so as I commented now, we want something that can be integrated in the usual workflow that is the company or the client is doing during the provisioning. Provisioning is something more complicated than installing and setting up service. Sometimes it's a very big chain of dependencies, and it's very easy to neglect the installation part of this this kind of workflow. So let's try to draw a line about how the normal installer work. I mean, if you have experience with Gen2 or Arc, this is going to be very easy for you. But sometimes it's, you are related, so you take JAS or you take whatever installer that your distribution have, and next, and you have an installer system. And basically all the installers, whatever you do manually or automatically, have this kind of step. So basically the first asset you are going to do is partitioning of the of your devices, maybe taking care of RATEL VM. Eventually you need to provide a file system in the volume or sub-volume that you are going to have there. If you have a BatterFS, probably you are going to create sub-volumes to take advantage of one of the features of BatterFS. Eventually you are going to install the software inside. I don't know how, maybe you are going to copy the software from a different source or install via a repository. Eventually you are going to install users, root for example, but maybe some admin users that you need to you can provide during installation time. Of course, you need to configure certain service, like the time, the zone that you live, the network, the different service that you want to run, like SSH. One of the last steps is the bootloader, so group needs to be taken care of to be placed in the correct device and in order to provide the kernel to be in memory in the correct moment, in the proper moment during the boot process. And maybe there is some kind of post-installation tasks. If you have a snapper, you need to take care of some bits that is not something usual in any installers. If you have BatterFS with read-only volumes, you need to. This is the moment where you need to set the flags and whatever you need to do up post-installations. This is extremely easy. I mean, this is very well known, and it's very easy to be a CLI. So you have a device, so you boot there, and we are going to see how this can be done, but it's very easy. It's also very easy to express in a shell script. You can take this shell script and grow for it until you have an installer, something more complicated, more feature complete. You usually have eventually, one of your iterations, you are going to take abstraction of that. For example, in JAT, we have leaf storage that is abstracting completely the problem of partitioning volume, sub-volume, file system. That is a very complicated problem. It's something that we can abstract. But you know, abstraction usually provides limitations to the thing that you can do. And this is something not very nice, because when you have a different kind of installation, that is something that in SUSE we have, those abstractions are broken. So let's talk a bit about how it's a typical installer. So in that case, imagine that we have a server with two devices. We know that we have two devices, SDA and SDB. So the first thing that I need to do is, of course, have an USB stick or a DVD where I boot in my operating system, and somehow I have a CLI and I'm able to see my devices. So the first thing that I need to do is to create the partition label. In that case, we are going to create GPT. It can be a different one, MS-DOS, or anyone. So we have GPT. So the next step usually is to create partitions. So we are not going to take care of RAID, because RAID can live in sometimes without a partition. Sometimes needs to be the firmware who is going to take care of the setup of the device. But this is not a problem for us to now. So we are going to create a first partition that is going to be to allocate some space for group. So you know, group. Maybe need some more space, let's create a partition for it and set the proper flag for this initial partition. We're going to create the swap, we're going to create the root file system, and in the second device, one single partition, and we know that we are going to use that for BatterFS. Next step is usually the file system. So we have four partitions, but only three need file system, one for the swap. For the root file system, today we are going to choose X4 and BatterFS. Eventually, because we are using BatterFS, I decide that I'm going to create the first sub volume. Maybe later I'm going to create a different one, but I'm going to create the first volume. So I need to mount the device, create the sub volume, and I'm going to be a good citizen and mount the sub volume, the device, sorry. The next step usually is create the file system tab. And this is something very tricky. The creation of the file system tab is not a single step in the installation process. It's something that is going to be done multiple times during the installation. So we are going to create the file. Of course, first we need to mount the device, create the etc directory, create the file, make sure that the proper lines are living there. Of course, taking care of the UID for the battery phase because maybe some is very picky. Okay, this is we have the initial prototype of the file system tab. Now is the moment of the software installation. I decide today that I'm going to use Zipper, the packet manager. Whatever you use, Debian, DNF, Joom, Zipper, there is a way to, the packet manager is going to create a CS root for you inside the device via the, in that case, the // root parameter that we can see here. It's going to, if you have a repository registry, that is one of the first operations that we do, it's going to take the package and taking care of the CS root environment and install the software inside the CS root. For today, we are going to install a pattern. Pattern is a collection in the SUSE parlango, is a collection of package. We have to take the super enhanced base system, the kernel and group root, so it's going to be very minimal. We are very close because we now can install the bootloader. The bootloader is going to be very tricky because we really now need the CS root. So the first thing that we are going to do is do the proper mounts to provide something that we can leverage via CS root. Now we can create the initrd. I mean, I know that the package from SUSE is going to create the initrd, but I'm not sure the state that it is. So I'm going to create now the initrd that I want. I'm going to make some small configuration in the group etc default group. That is a file that the group mkconfig is going to read to generate the configuration file. And the last step is make the proper installation. You can see that every command is prefixed with csroot. And this is what makes this step a bit tricky. Now the reboot, and you have a proper file system running. Csroot, in that case, is use it to make sure that the default target is loaded via systemd and system CTR reboot. The funny thing is that if you take those steps and you copy and paste, you are going to have a bootable image, so it's not very complicated. But now you can see that there is like a lot of to-do comments at the beginning, and this is something that you need to take care of when your system is going to change, when you are going to have something that is going to be a bit different. The thing that, of course, that we miss is that we don't have a way to parameterize anything. We know that we have two devices, so okay, I act accordingly to what I have. We know the kind of partition that we want, but we don't take care about the size, we don't take care about the ordering, so we need a way to specify if we have different kind of installation to indicate or discover the disks, partitions, the kind of file system. If we have LVM or RAID, the situation is get more complicated, but you need a way to parameterize to indicate how this profile is going to be there. If we are going to use BatterFS, you need to indicate more sub-volumes and maybe a prefix for those sub-volumes. If you are going to use a snapper, you also need to indicate a default sub volume that is going to be used when you mount this device. We completely forget about secure boot UEFI. We forget about users. Of course, service, we only take care of one target, but that's all. And we take care manually of the CS root environment. All those components are missing. And you can provide that with a better script using maybe a real programming language like Python, Ruby, or whatever. So the proposal that Yomi is doing is let's do the installation in a different way. We are going to use a configuration manager system that in this case is Salt. I don't know if you know Salt, but Salt is a configuration manager system. It's kind of like of Chef of Ansible, at least in principle. They are both taking care of the same problem space, but it's the architecture is completely different. So it's something that, like a puzzle, is you can play a lot and you can have very, very advanced configuration options there. The default option is to have a master and a minion. So it's going to be, we are going to have a node that is going to have a service that is called master, submaster. And it's going to take care of controlling the different minions that are living in your the different device of your network. They have some advantage, but you can optionally remove the minions and optionally remove the master. You need eventually one of them. And you can have very funny and crazy architecture based on reactors, so you can listen in some kind of event. So if one of the nodes is changing the configuration or if there is doing something crazy, the master can capture some event and react based on the kind of event that is happening. Maybe you want to shut down a service and restart, or you want to change some parameters of the configuration. So it's a nice piece of technology that is able to do great stuff. Of course, they have his own kind of concepts or words or jargon that is only alive in the salt realm. So they have the concept of grains, pillar, execution mode, state mode, and salt state, but maybe it's more easy to see that here. So this is the typical master minion configuration. We have a node that is going to have the master, and we have three nodes that contain the minion. In the minion side at the right, no, at the your right, you have the grains. Grains is the minimal data that the minion is going to export to the master. I'm going to publish, okay, this minion is going to have, or is currently having this CPU, this amount of hard disk, amount of memory, this network, MAC address, whatever, whatever. It's very basic information that the minion is publishing. In the other side, we have execution modules. Execution module is like a small action, a single action, basically done in Python, that is going to make something. This something is whatever you can think of. For example, you have module to start a service. You have module to remove a file. You have module to create directories. You have module for whatever elements. And it's only doing that. If managed to do that, it's going to return true. And if fails, maybe you have an exception or some nice report about why it fails. On top of that, on top of this basic element that is an execution module, you have a state module that is again a Python code that is going to leverage several execution modules in order to reach a state. And this is super cool because the concept of a state is the concept that is going to make Yomi quite different from the rest of the installers. And a state is going to guarantee that certain configuration is already in place. If not, it's going to make decisions in order to reach this final state that we want. We have also states cannot be confused with the state modules, because the states are something declarative. It's a YAML document that the user or the admin describe that is going to put in order different state module. So you are going to first make sure that the Apache, for example, is installed. There is going to another state that is going to be sure that the Apache service is going to be running, that the server directory is going to be in place, that the index file is going to be there with the proper username and permissions. So those declarative documents are the ones that are going to orchestrate those state execution modules. We have the pillars. The pillar is the data that the states are going to use in order to have a proper configuration. So for example, we can have an state that is going to be sure that Apache is going to be installed, but Apache can have different names in different distributions. Via a pillar, I can provide all the names that this package have in my different distributions. So we have for one side the state that is going to be sure that certain state is going to be there, and a pillar that is the data that the state is going to use. And between both sides we have a bus. And this bus is the channel of communication between the minions and the master, and can be used to deliver events. So if one of the nodes is doing something, I can fire an event that is going to be collected by the master and act accordingly. So yeah, so we know what execution mode. So this is the execution mode is the unit element that is going to take care of one single problem. The state module is the piece of code that is going to guarantee that an state is reached. So it's going to validate the input, take care that it's going to check the current status. It's going to make decision about the action that needs to be done in order to reach the final state. If you don't provide the test parameter, those actions are going to be to be done. And later, it's going to recheck again the final status and compare with the plan. And if there is some kind of difference, okay, maybe some problem happened. Something very nice about this proposal, if you are able to express all your problems in this kind of semantics, is that you can fix a wrong configuration reapplying your state. And as a side effect, that means that if your state is already in place, you can reapply several times the same state and nothing is going to change. You don't break, you have it impotent. Again, solid states are the declarative document and have this kind of shape. So it's, in the first example, we have a way to express the that a device is mounted. You can see that we put mounted. So we are going to guarantee that the mount point is going to be in place with the proper permissions, that the device is present, and that the partition can be mounted, and the file system meet with the current state that you have. If everything goes in place, this state is going to be executed. If not, he's going to try to make the missing elements in place in order to guarantee that, again, you have this device mounted in the proper place. You can have something more complicated like prepare kexit. You have this command run that is actually an execution module. And you can see that you can put random shell script there. This is very bad behavior, but you can do that. That the status of the check if the state is met or not can be in a different different line on your declaration. And the very nice thing is that this declarative document can be enriched with a template file. So you can provide logic on top of your logic. So it's like a macro, like if you were a Lisp developer and you can provide macros there. And you can make decisions based on the pillars. So the data, that is the pillars, can be read from the state and you make decisions inside the YAML document to hide certain elements of your document or to show another one. So you can, using the pillars and the grains, provide a different description of the state. So the final element is the pillar, and something very cool about the pillar is that it's also intelligent. You can enrich a traditional YAML document that is something tree-alike, declarative, and very flat and plain, with a template. So that means that you can dynamically change your data based on the description that the minion provide to the master. So if a master have a different kind of ID, so every minion have an ID, you can change, for example, the file system you're going to apply. And this is extremely powerful because you are able to inject your own grains. So grains is basically a Python code that is executed and publish a result in a namespace. And you can query that from your data. So now the idea is super clear. We are going to make an installer that is a solid state. So the master plan, this is like my master plan here. For each basic installation, we are going to make sure that, for basic action, we are going to create an execution module. Because SALT is a very big project, probably we have the action already in place in the repository in GitHub. If not, we are going to implement the missing parts or fixed bugs or whatever. Next step is that for every high-level action, like, for example, mounting a device, partitioning a device, creating a user, we are going to make sure that we have an state module that is going to properly do the action that they want or reach the state that they want to be reached. So again, we reuse the one from upstream. If not, we extend that and pull reach in the Salt repository. So Salt is an open source project, and we are going to contribute the missing parts that we need in the main repo. And if there is nothing there that we need, we are going to implement something from scratch and try to upstream that. After that, we are going to take care of what is really Yomi, that is the SLS, the YAML file that is going to order the different states. We are going to provide a way to parameterize all the data. The data, of course, is something that is responsibility of the user, but we can provide some example for that. And we have Yomi. So I have a small demo. This demo is a two-node installation, and I try to be wildly different in the kind of installation. In one node, we are going to have a BIOS machine, and we are going to install MicroS. If you know MicroS, it's a transactional update operating system. So that means that we are going to have a butterface in a read-only way. And we have a second node. In that case, it's not a BIOS, it's a UEFI node. No secure boot, it's going to have two hard disks. And we are going to use LVM, butterfs for the root and XFS for home. This was like the traditional tumbleweed was installed with this configuration. Not, now it's everything butterfs. So let's try to do that here. I have the demo in my repo. So basically what I did here is that I have a nice script that is going to boot to two VMs. So we have two VMs. Those VMs are the hard disk is completely clean, there's nothing there, and I boot the VM using a small tumbleweed image, or an OpenSUSE image. It's really minimal, it's a live image, and the only thing that is different from a normal one is that they contain the Salt minion. Actually, this is not even what makes different, because tumbleweed provides the Salt minion by default. So it's we have the Salt minion. We have a Salt master in somewhere. So we have the Salt master here. And we make sure that we can see from here, we can see our minions. So we have two nodes and both with a pin return true. So yeah, we can see that they are there. We have pillars, and we have two pillars. One is microS.sls that is going to be applied, or this data is going to be read only one node. And we have a different data that is going to be only read for the second node. So you can see here that we have like a section for configuration. Obviously, we need a way to define the partitions. So we describe the devices that we have and the partitions that are living there. We have this type. We have this type. In that case, you it's about the how this partition is going to be used. In that case, with a EFI partition or an LLVM. Because we have an LLVM device, we are going to also provide all the information for the logical volumes that we expect there. We can use the same kind of parameters that are expected in the CLI tools that LLVM is going to use. We have a different section for the file system, so we can refer to a partition or a logical volume that is for the pillar point of view is not different, it's only data. We have a very complicated schema for subvolumes with a prefix. We have crazy stuff here. We have an XFS file system for home. The bootloader we require that is going to be in one of these devices, and we want these partitions there. And this is something kind of similar for MicroS. Again, we have a single device here, the file system. Those are subvolumes very specific for the MicroS installation. We have parameters like copy and write. We have the bootloader maybe is a bit more complicated. We need to provide some parameters that the group loader is going to require. The patterns, the software is of course is going to be different. And yes, we want, of course, one service that is going to be running, that is a Salt minion. The nice thing is that when the machine is going to be installed and is rebooted, the minion that is running inside the new machine, it's possible to be connected to the master, and with the Jom is taking care of copying the certificate and everything in order to make of this process transparent. So we can provide a high state. This is going to use the network, and we have a monitoring tool that is going to capture those events that I was talking about and show the status of the installation. So meanwhile, because this is an installer, let's finish the presentation. So now everything is more clear. We have Python code that is living in the salt space, and we have a YAML declaration file that is what is the Jomi problem. We upstream all the code. The current status is that all the key components are living now in salt, at least in the developer branch. So you can take this branch and Jomi is going to work. So we take care of fixing all the bugs and missing features for Partet, for Zipper. We want to plan to do that for different package managers like the Debian or Red Hat. We provide very nice new tools about hardware information. Of course, BatterFS needs a big revamp in upstream. We use it quite a bit, so it's normal that we require more from different distribution. We provide a very nice chroot module for taking care of all the dirty details of chroot. We have a very nice module that is free, that is able to clean your chroot for you, so you are able to take a picture of the chroot, install garbage, and recover the previous state of the chroot using the package manager. More crazy stuff that we do. Eventually, those declarations of the states, meanwhile you are providing more features, the tree of the states is going to going deeper and wider. So this is a picture of 2 or 3 months ago. Now the tree is bigger. But it's taking care of all the state that we saw in the first slides about the installation, bootloader, partition, etc., and much more. So we provide the partition that is obviously the more complicated part, have different ways of operation. There is one that is using linear programming, is able to make decisions for you about the size of the partition. So we have very crazy stuff already in place. But this, so far is, yeah, I mean, one of the tricky elements of here is that you are, Jomi is a state that is composed of different states. And composing, even for a state, is a bit tricky. So there are some challenge on composing states, but we managed to resolve that. And the current status is that we can do crazy stuff. We install OpenSUSE like crazy, Lib, Tumbleweed, MicroS. We have Kubik. It's still not at the same level that Jazz. For example, missing parts are resized of the partition. It's planning to be so there is a plan to provide this feature, Lux, bcache. Maybe the network configuration can be better. But we have already Jomi integrated in different solutions, for example, in Kubik and SUSE Manager. The Kubik one is extremely cool because you have a nice CLI tool that you can see, okay, we have a new node in the network, please install Tumbleweed and use kubeadm for the rest of for the rest of the action that need to be done in order to install Kubernetes. Everything is upstream, everything is open source. All my contributions to Salt are possible to reach from Salt stock. Jomi is living the OpenSUSE namespace in GitHub. And yes, all the package and all the image are in OBS at your disposal. Eventually, this is everything that I have to say. I don't know if anyone was using Salt before, or if you have any question or comment. So, thank you.
Yeah, maybe I have a question. So, when you use this configuration to install the machine, are you also able to use it for configuration? Like, for the long time configuration?
I don't get the question, sorry.
Once you put all the configuration to install the machine, are you also able to modify it later?
Yes, of course. This is a state, so if the state change, for example, if you provide new patterns that you want to be there, new users, yes, this is going to change in the proportion of your change. There are always limitations. For example, if you... today, we are not supporting resize of the partition. There are complications about the resizing. You can break stuff. So this part needs to be taken care of. But everything else can be done during installation or post-installation. Something very neat about Yomi is that because we have a way to control CSroot and we can inject a state inside the CSroot, you can go super far in the configuration, in the provisioning of your node before you have the reboot. So imagine that you are doing a starting service inside the CSroot, sending commands inside the CSroot, I don't know, like half a almost full OpenStack or Kubernetes installation before you have the reboot. You can go very far there. So that means that if you decide to reapply the change in a current installation, those changes are going to be propagated. In that case, not inside the CSroot, but inside the real machine.
Okay, question. Maybe I missed something, but this is like a chicken and egg problem. You have to have the salt agent first to make this all work. So how do you work around this?
Yeah, this is a... So we have the salt master, no? The salt master is a node that is going to be there, can be your laptop. So imagine that you have Pixieboot in your laptop. So you can inject the kernel initrd, a root file system that is going to contain the salt minion. You have another option that is the one that you said here. You have a DVD or USB stick that you plug into the machine and boot from there. And you are going to have the salt minion. The only thing that you really need to break this cycle is a kernel, a RAM image, and a minion. It's the only thing that you need. You can provide whatever you want. A SD card, a USB, Pixieboot, via firmware, whatever you want. So you break the cycle, injecting a minion, whatever, with whatever mechanism that you have.
No more questions then? Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you.
And we have a short break before the next talk will be about NixOS.